Well, my sons and I, my three teenage sons and I, love to play cricket, and we take any opportunity to play. In fact, even a week ago, we went out to play in the nets with all of our gear. We took the wickets and the balls and the bats and the helmets and the pads and had a good session down there at the nets. Unfortunately, the bat snapped in half, and I got a bruised toe from one of my boys who's getting faster, but good fun. But pretty much every house I've ever lived in, we've had our own version of backyard cricket. That may be your case too in your home, backyard cricket. In our current house, it's front yard cricket. There's no space out the back, so we play on our driveway. The great thing about front yard cricket is that within seconds of deciding to play, you're playing. All you need to do is grab the bat and the wickets and the ball that are all waiting by the front door, and out you go. And of course, every game has its own unique set of rules. The hardest thing about our game is when the ball goes into the Soikers' backyard across the street, trying to retrieve it without being caught. But great fun. Now, when it comes to my prayer life, often prayer has become a bit like going down to the nets. It takes preparation, it takes effort. You've kind of got to get yourself planned out to have a prayer time, to have a prayer list. What am I going to pray for? How am I going to keep this a regular part of my life? As we read the passage that's before us today, my hope is that your prayer life will become much more like front yard cricket, much easier to do, more frequent, more regular. The bar becomes a bit lower. Because the verse that we're looking at today is from Matthew 6:7, which says, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words." Now, if you're new with us, we are doing a series called Jesus Said. We're looking at words that Jesus said, like one-liners, practical things, and we're hoping to think about those words and bring them into our life. And we're trying to build our life on those words. So far, we've had two other verses, Mark 10:44, which says, "Whoever wants to be first must become slave of all." And then we've had Matthew 5:37, which says, "All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one." So, of course, today we're talking about prayer. We're talking about praying to our great God in heaven. And from the very beginning, we realize that long prayers are not better prayers. If nothing else we get from today, we're going to see that God is not impressed just because we pray for a longer time. Now, let's have a think about the passage that we've got. We're, again, like last week, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is preaching a sermon. A number of our talks will come from that one sermon. And Jesus is preaching to his disciples there. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. But we're in chapter 6. And the first half of chapter 6, Jesus talks about religious activities that people do. And they're not unique religious activities to Christianity, but he gives a unique Christian perspective on them. So giving to the poor first, and then prayer, and then fasting. And you can think of other religions that do the same kind of things. And Islam, of course, comes to mind. Pious acts or acts of worship, religious acts that we do before God. Now, Matthew 6, verse 1, so the first verse in that chapter is kind of the context that these three things are talked about. When Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So when you give to the needy, when you pray, and when you fast, make sure you know who your audience is. You're praying and giving and fasting for God alone, not for the praise of other people. And this is confusing world of when you do pious and religious acts, it's tempting to do them before others so others will see you and think, wow, that person's spiritual, aren't they? They must be godly. They must be religious. And Jesus says, really, the only way to make sure that you know that you're doing these religious things or these worshipful things for God and God alone is to do them in secret. And so he says, when you give to the poor, make sure your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, go into your room, close the door. When you are fasting, make sure you don't look like you're starving. Make sure you're looking healthy. And of course, Jesus pushes into that section. Because any worship act that's done for your own glory is not done for his glory. And so there's a stark warning for us, even as we come to church and as we do our religious things, to do them for God and not for ourselves. Now, as we come into the section on prayer, there's a whole bunch of verses on prayer, and Jesus starts in that point, doesn't he, by talking about praying. Don't go out into the street corners, he says, or stand in the synagogue and pray in front of people so that they will see how spiritual you are and applaud your spirituality. Instead, go into your room and pray there. Now, of course, as we think about that, immediately it comes to mind, well, what about praying in church? I've just stood up in front of you, so it's Glenn and Coralie. We've prayed. We didn't do that in our room with the door shut when we joined the church prayer meeting or when you pray in your homes. That's also public prayer. Is that okay if Jesus is saying that? Well, of course it's okay. The church is known for people who read the scriptures and who gather to pray. It's what the church does. But I think there is a stark warning for those like me who pray publicly, that if all of our praying is publicly and never privately, then whose applause are we after? God's or humans? And so for those who do pray publicly, you want to make sure that you also have a private world of prayer before God as well. A good warning. Well, as we head now into this section, we're thinking about this one verse. So far, we've been saying that you want to be seen only by God in your religious or worship acts and not by others. But as we're heading to the section about praying, Jesus goes on to give a second section of teaching, which is about the kind of prayers that are heard. Not just the kind of prayers who are seen, but the kind of prayers who are heard. And often we can think that longer, more impressive, more eloquent prayers are the prayers that God hears. And therefore, if he hears those prayers, they're the prayers that he answers. If we get the formula right, we say it right, then he's more likely to answer us. But then we get to Matthew 6:7, our verse for the day, which says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words." And straight off the bat, we see that long prayers don't necessarily equal heard prayers, which doesn't necessarily equal answered prayer. The multiplication of words in your prayer time is not the formula to be heard by God. Let's have a think about that verse that's before us. Interestingly, it starts with the words, "when you pray." Jesus doesn't actually, on any of these things, say you need to make sure you give to the poor, you need to make sure you pray, you must fast. He just assumes that's what we'll be doing, that we are people who pray. Which, of course, then makes us ask the question immediately of ourselves, are we people of prayer? Are you somebody who prays, a prayerful person, a person who comes before God each day in prayer? Of course, as we start thinking about the opposite to that and the warning of Scripture, to be prayerless is not to be in relationship with God. To be prayerless is to not be trusting God, but be trusting self or other. And we see that right through the scriptures, that when you turn your trust from God to self or to other, then you're out of step with him. Are we living independent lives from God, or are we living lives under God? And of course, our prayer life shows that up. Are you a person of prayer? Of course, next, Jesus says, in your prayers, don't keep on babbling like the pagans or the Gentiles. Now that word babbling is interesting because it's the only time in the whole Bible it's used, so it's hard to get a real clear meaning on it. But it kind of means don't use empty or meaningless words. Don't use endless repetition in your speaking. Don't babble. And the picture that comes to mind is of the pagan worshippers, the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. You remember there was that prayer off between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, whichever God answered by fire from heaven, that was God. And the prophets of Baal won the toss, they batted first, and they got to go first, and they prayed all morning, didn't they? They babbled on and on, calling on God to answer their prayer, and they cut themselves, and they yelled, and they danced, and God did not respond because Baal is not God. And then Elijah stands up after lots of water thrown onto the sacrifice, prays a simple prayer, God hears it, and God answers it. Jesus gives actually a very stern warning to people who think that lengthy, impressive prayers are what impresses God. Mark 12 says this in verse 38. It says, as he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Now, over my days, I did my best to impress a girl or two. But as I think about teenagers impressing girls, straight away a story comes to mind of a camp I was on, and there was two teenage boys trying to impress one teenage girl. As it happened that we were eating a meal and there was chili sauce on the table, and they thought that the way to impress this girl was the consumption of chili sauce. So they tried to outdo each other in how much they could eat. And as it turns out, this girl wasn't impressed by how much chili you could eat. As it turns out, that God's not impressed by how long you can pray for either, or the repetition of meaningless words over and over again. God's not interested in who can go on and on in their prayers. So what kind of prayers does he want? What should our prayers be marked by? And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words. What's the next verse say? Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So don't keep babbling. Don't go on and on because two reasons. A, firstly, you're praying to your Father. B, secondly, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Now, that first part is incredible, isn't it? That prayer is prayer to your Father, your heavenly Dad. When you call out to him, you're praying to somebody who's not an impersonal force, a distant God, somebody that needs to be coaxed and cajoled to listen to you. But he's the Father who loves you. He's the Father who made you. He's the Father who knows you. He's the Father who even sent his Son to the dusty place of earth to walk, talk, teach, die in the place of us and rise again to give us life. We're praying to our Father who loves to hear from us. And of course, any dad loves to hear a child run into the room and say, hey, Dad. And God loves it when his children say, hey, Dad. Hey, Father. He's a loving God. He loves us. Secondly, though, he knows what we need before we even ask him. So that should impact the way that we pray. And I can think of so many stories with my own boys when they come into the room. Dad, what are we doing today? And what about after that? And what about if I do all my chores? To which I say, if you want to play on the Nintendo, then all you have to do is ask. Because I know what you're going to ask before you even ask it. Just spit it out, son. Maybe that's what our verse is saying today. Just spit it out, son or daughter. And now in case the disciples don't get it yet, what Jesus is saying, Jesus now goes on to give an example prayer, a well-known prayer which we call the Lord's Prayer. If you think about it, God from heaven comes down to earth and teaches the humans the kind of prayer that he likes to hear. So we should take notice of this prayer. And if you look at it in the Greek, it's 58 words long. And when I read it, it takes 14 seconds to pray. It's not a long prayer at all. Now, if I was to ask you today how long you pray for each day, and you said 14 seconds or less, I'm sure you'd be guilt-ridden. I'm sure you'd think, yeah, I need to do more than that. But that's the prayer that Jesus gives us to pray. Very much like the front yard cricket version, is something that can just be picked up and prayed easily, regularly, and used for that. And of course, we've got this great prayer that we're going to look at for a second. Should we pray this prayer, though? Is this the prayer that we should be praying daily, the Lord's Prayer, or should we kind of be crafting our own prayers in our own words? Well, it's interesting to notice that because we were given a task when we went to Indonesia on a mission trip. We were told that every time there was a call to prayer from the mosque five times a day, that we would stop wherever we were and pray the Lord's Prayer. And I thought that would actually become like meaningless, repetitive babble, a bit like what Jesus is warning us against. Don't just keep saying the same thing over and over again. But as it turned out, praying this prayer that's before us actually, for me, actually drew more and more meaning the more I thought about the words that were before us. And so, of course, no problems praying this prayer. If you're going to pray any prayer, pray this prayer. But of course, I think it's meant to be a model prayer for us to pray. It's a prayer of two halves that starts with the words, "Our Father." And of course, "Our Father" means it's actually a community prayer. It doesn't start with "my Father," "our Father." So any thoughts that we shouldn't pray with other people and only pray in our room, again, has already been dismissed. But we're praying to our Heavenly Father. Therefore, heavenly, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's transcendent beyond all understanding, but he's our Father, intimate, close, and loving for us. So as we look at the contents of this short 14-second prayer, it really just divides in my looking into two halves. The first half is about God and who he is, and therefore who we are. And the second half is a basic plea for our needs. So let's have a quick look. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as you go into prayer and you remind yourself of who God is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be praised, God. May you be seen as awesome. May you be revered and honored. And as you pray that prayer, straight away, you're thinking about how great God is. And you're also not praying, "May my name be revered. May my name be seen as awesome. And may I be honored." You're putting yourself in your rightful place as creature under creator. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. May you expand and your glory and fame grow. And as you're praying that, you're not praying that your own glory and your own fame would grow instead. So having only been a few seconds now into prayer, you've already rightly put God in his place and reminded yourself of who you are. "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Just a very short request there in that first line, isn't it? "God, meet my physical needs today." Notice it's a daily prayer. It's a prayer not to be just prayed at the first day of the week or the first day of the year, but it's an ongoing coming back to God. Just basically provide what I need to get through this day. And then there's two lines of praying for our spiritual needs, the forgiveness of our sins. And God, help me not to sin again today. Help me not to fall to temptation. A very, very basic prayer, asking God to meet our physical and spiritual needs. two halves. You could easily model your prayer on this, couldn't you? You're praying to God for his glory and praying for our basic needs before him. Well, as we think about these words, how do we bring these now into our life? How do we make these words part of our daily prayer time? And when you pray, do not babble like the pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words. Well, firstly, I was thinking about myself and what it would look like to do this in my life. And I've thought, actually, over my life, I've had a variety of types of praying. At times, I actually have nailed the morning larger section of prayer time with a prayer list. And at other stages of my life, I haven't done that. It's been a struggle, much more like the Nets cricket versus the front yard cricket. But for me, best time for me to pray is when I'm in the shower, or when I'm walking, or when I'm driving, or when a need comes to mind. This idea that I can be actually praying throughout the day to the God and Father in heaven. And I love the verses from 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so the idea of not just confining your prayer to one segment of the day, but being in prayer or communion before your God throughout the day is a great thing to do. Then I thought about, you know, what does this mean in your household, in my household? If you are privileged enough to be in a place where you have others in your house and others that you can pray with, how would you pray short prayers to God that have great meaning in your household? Now, Holly and I got into a habit of, before we went to bed, we would pray for one another. I would say, "What can I pray for you about?" And then she would ask the same. We would pray for each other. I'm one of those people who, once your head hits the pillow, 30 seconds on average, I can be asleep. So the idea of laying there and I think I got it from my dad. The idea of laying there and praying for each other, particularly when, you know, your prayers can go on and on as you think of other things to pray for, and then the kids and then the neighbours, etc., that just became unachievable for us. So we found in our family actually using shorter periods of time throughout the day to pray helped us. So over meal times before we pray, when we're before going to bed, in the car on the way to school or work, or just as needs come about. Bringing prayer right through our day into our home. Well, what about prayer as a church? What does these verses mean for us? Well, of course, every time you come to church, you're going to be involved in corporate prayer. Every time you go to your small group, there'll be prayer. If you're part of a ministry, there'll be prayer. The elders pray together each week. The staff pray together each week. There's plenty of prayer happening as we come before God. But we also have two church prayer meetings, actually, one on a Saturday at 4 p.m. before that service, and one on a Sunday at 8:45 before this service. And usually in those prayer meetings, you know, there's 5 to 10 people. And I think, well, why aren't there more? Why aren't there hundreds of people in the prayer time? And I think, well, maybe it's because they don't know there's a prayer meeting at 8:45 on a Sunday. So I'm just rectifying that right now. There is a prayer meeting at 8:45 every Sunday in training room 2. Then I think, well, why don't more people come to that? Is it because they can't get out of bed in time? I think, well, manage it every other day of the week, so it's probably not that. Is it because there's nothing to pray for and no needs? And I think, well, it's probably not that either. Is it because they don't like praying in public? And the idea of sitting in a group and praying out loud when everyone else's prayers seem to be so much more eloquent and thought out and impressive than yours, is that the reason? And then we read this verse. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, because they think they'll be heard because of their many words." And of course, God's not impressed by fancy prayers or long prayers. He just wants us to come to him and pray. So we'd love you to join the church prayer meeting. And even just sit there and hear other people's prayers. And if they pray something that you agree with, then say, "Amen, I agree with that, God." And finally, as we think about praying for other people, like if you're anything like me, you'll talk to people every day who have a need. Whether they're a Christian or not, they'll share about their sickness or whatever their need is, why not at the end of those conversations go to God in prayer? Just with them, just for a few seconds, bring all the resources of heaven to help their need by asking God rather than by just patting them on the back and saying, you'll be okay, or I'll think of you later. Bring them before God in prayer. So when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans. Don't think you'll be heard because of your many words. Okay, Father is who we pray to. He already knows what we need before we go to him. So I'm going to give you a short moment now to come before God and pray. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us for being motivated by guilt as well. Thank you for teaching us how to pray. And thank you that our prayers don't need to be long and impressive for you to hear them. So Lord, grow us in this area, in our own lives, in our church, in our families, that we may be constantly coming to you in prayer and know the joy of being in communion with you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.